You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Sacred Space, hosted by Beatrice Corbo.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Burn away my fears, and wipe away my tears, and trust in you all here, Holy Spirit.
Welcome, friends. We have just finished our 33 days retreat for Marian consecration, and a few days ago we celebrated the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, at which time we consecrated ourselves to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We are now in the middle of Advent and preparing ourselves to celebrate Christmas. I can't help but think what a God incidence this is, that we made our consecration to Mary within the Advent season. Let us continue to surrender ourselves to our Blessed Mother as we journey with her during Advent by reflecting on God's love for us through the mystery of His incarnation. Advent is a time to prepare our minds and our hearts for the coming of our Savior. It is a gentle time, a time to meditate Scripture and ensure that we are spiritually fed. It is a time to reflect upon our past, looking back to the ancient people of God, to our first parents, Adam and Eve, who broke away from God and thus began a time of ruin and chaos for humanity. The poison of sin spread quickly, but because of God's love and mercy for humanity, He promised that the serpent will one day be crushed by the woman's offspring. This is God's first announcement of Christ's birth for the salvation of humanity. Through the various prophets we find in the Old Testament, such as Noah, Abraham, and Moses, we see God continually renewing His covenant with His people. We follow the story of Israel's hope, a hope that refused to die no matter what terrible things happened to them. And it is with the first Christians that this hope was believed to become human in baby Jesus. We tend to think of Advent as a season in which we prepare for Christmas, the first coming of Christ. However, it is also a time when Christians look with hope to the future as we prepare for the second coming of our Lord Jesus. Therefore, friends, I invite you to continue our journey with our Blessed Mother as we begin her Christmas novena on December 16th. In these 9 days of reflection, this novena will take us up to Christmas Eve. We will be using the novena written by St. Alphonsus Liguori. He was bishop, doctor of the Church, and founder of the Congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer, known as Redemptoris. The following is a brief overview on what we will be meditating. On day one, we meditate on the love that God has shown us in becoming human. God's response to Adam and Eve's rebellion was the Son of God took upon Himself our human flesh, and in order to save us from death, He died on a cross, condemned as a criminal. In the beautiful imagined dialogue between God the Father with His Son, when the Father would tell Jesus all the suffering that He would be facing, such as the coldness of the cave, the fleeing to Egypt, His living in a workshop, His many life sufferings, His trial, execution, and being forsaken from all, to this litany of suffering, Jesus would simply respond, "Father, it does not matter. I am happy to endure whatever comes, provided that humanity is saved." On the second day of the novena, we meditate on the love of God in being born as an infant. Why would Jesus appear as an infant? St. Peter Chrysologus, doctor of the church, states that, quote, "Our God chose to be born this way because he wanted to be loved," end quote. And this was the work of his love for us. St. Alphonsus comments on Jesus' love for us in the following manner, quote, "You provide food for all creatures, and yet now you depend on a little milk to sustain your life. You are the delight of heaven, and yet how is it that I now hear you whimper and cry? Tell me, who has reduced you to such lowliness? Who has done this?" "Love has done it," says St. Bernard. "Yes, the love that you have for us has done it." On the third day, we meditate on the life of poverty which Jesus lived. Even from his birth, his poverty can be detected because Mary had been driven from all the other houses and even from the common shelter for poor people. She ended up spending the night in a cave and there gave birth to the King of Heaven. Saint Alphonsus keeps highlighting Christ's voluntary poverty when he said that the King of Heaven chose to be born in a cold cavern without a fire to warm him. He chose to have the livestock's manger for his cradle and a little prickly straw for his bedding in order that he might experience what poor people have to experience. It is a gift of faith that really makes us appreciate that this child is the Son of God who loved us so much that he came down to earth and endured so much to pay for our sins. The fourth meditation of the novena centers on the life of humility which Jesus lived even from his infancy. The Savior of the world was wrapped in poor, ragged clothes in a stable, lying on straw in a manger for animals. That is how the King of Heaven, the Son of God, was born, because he came to destroy the pride that had been the cause of humanity's spiritual ruin. And this was just the prelude of a life lived in humility and beset by humiliations. In fact, St. Alphonsus adds the following comment. "The prophets foretold that our Redeemer would be treated as the most wretched person on earth and that he would be overwhelmed with insults. How much ridicule Jesus had to tolerate because of us. He was treated as a drunkard, as a magician, as a blasphemer and a heretic. Think of how many insults he had to endure during his passion. He was abandoned by his own disciples. One of them even sold him for 30 pieces of silver, and another denied ever having known him. He was led through the streets, bound like a criminal, scourged like a slave, treated like a madman, and mocked as a bogus king. He was struck, spit upon in the face, and finally was put to death on a cross, suspended between two thieves. One would think that he had been the greatest lawbreaker the world had ever seen. However, Christ's humility reveals his divine loving heart for us sinners, and we, by faith, can identify his gratuitous love for us. Can we not respond with our love for him?" St. Bernard commented that the noblest of all men, Jesus Christ, was treated like the most depraved person of all. "But my Jesus," he adds, "the more degraded you are, the more dear you are to me. The more humbled and despised he appears, the more esteemed and worthy of our love he becomes." On day 5, we will meditate on the life of sorrow which Jesus lived, starting, of course, from his birth. Even if he could effect a free-from-suffering salvation, Jesus willingly chose a life full of tribulations to show how much he loved us. Thus, as St. Alphonsus affirms, while quoting Isaiah the prophet, in calling Jesus the Man of Sorrows. Christ's passion really started from the beginning of his life. If Jesus' life was one of continual anxiety, such as the trouble he felt in himself because he could see nothing in that cave but dark, rough walls, his sense of smell was overpowered by the stench of dung from the animals lying nearby. His skin got irritated by the itchy straw that served as his bed. He had to flee from Herod's persecution, and his hidden life in Nazareth was a big challenge for him. And later his life ended in Jerusalem, dying in anguish on a cross. By itself, these actions show a great love for us. On the sixth day, St. Alphonsus helps us meditate on the mercy of God in coming from heaven to save us by his death. God's mercy appeared at its zenith at the moment when God became a human person in Jesus Christ. God's mercy appeared to an even greater degree when God took human flesh to save lost humanity by his sufferings and death. Jesus' sufferings, since he was a baby till he died for us on the cross, by themselves show us how much he really loved us. Imagine him as a newborn infant wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger, unable to move or feed himself. Just to survive, he relied on Mary to feed him with a little milk. Imagine him many years later in the judgment hall before Pilate, bound to a column by ropes from which he could not loosen himself, and scourged from head to foot. Imagine him on the journey to Calvary, falling down as he went along the road, from weakness and from the weight of the cross that he carried. Finally, imagine him nailed to the infamous tree upon which he finished his life in agony and suffering. Jesus Christ wished to gain all the endearments of our hearts by his love for us, and therefore he would not send an angel to redeem us, but came down himself to save us by his passion and resurrection. On the seventh day, we are called to meditate on the journey of the infant Jesus to Egypt. The tragedy of this episode is beautifully communicated by St. Alphonsus in the dialogue Mary has with her sleeping child Jesus. O my Son and my God, you have come down from heaven to save humanity. Yet, hardly after you are born, they already seek to take away your life. Then, St. Alphonsus puts us in the suffering situation experienced by the Holy Family in this hurried flight into Egypt. Think about how much these lonely pilgrims must have suffered while making such a long journey, deprived of every comfort. The infant was not yet able to walk, so Mary and Joseph had to take turns carrying him in their arms. During the journey through the desert of Egypt, their only bed at night was the bare earth in the open air. The infant wept in the cold, and Joseph and Mary also wept out of compassion for him. The eighth day brings us to the sojourn of the infant Jesus into Egypt and Nazareth. According to the Novena's text, both sojourns have one element in common: the life of Jesus in poverty. Our blessed Redeemer spent his infancy in Egypt, living there for 7 years in poverty and contempt. The life Jesus led in the house in Nazareth after his return from Egypt was much the same, poor and humiliating. In order to help us understand what this really means, St. Alphonsus is putting us in Jesus' shoes to see what it would be like living in poverty. This remembrance of our Lord induces us to love him all the more. Imagine God living as a boy, God sweeping the floor, God sweating as he planed the piece of wood. And who was he? The all-powerful God, who with a simple nod created the whole world, and who could destroy it just as easily if he wished. Should not the mere thought of this move our hearts to love him? On the ninth and final day of the Christmas novena, we shall focus on the birth of the infant Jesus in the cave of Bethlehem. This four-day journey to Bethlehem was a suffering journey. The cold reception of the Holy Family from others around was an utter rejection. The Son of God was to be born in total poverty. We can imagine, as Mary entered, Joseph protested, saying, "My dear wife, how can you spend the night in this cold, damp place? Can't you see this is a stable for animals?" But she answered, "Joseph, this shed is the royal palace where the Son of God chooses to be born." Mary gives birth to Jesus while praying. The first effect of prayer is adoration. From this description of how the Son of God was born for love of us, St. Alphonsus concludes that silent adoration must be our natural response to Jesus' love. A saint once said that those who love Jesus Christ most ought to kneel at the feet of the Holy Child, in spirit perform for him the same service as the beasts in the stable at Bethlehem, who warmed him with their breath. We should warm him with our sighs of love. The strategy St. Alphonsus marks for us in this novena is, first, we ask Jesus for healing us from our pride. Second, asking Jesus to give us the grace to love him perseveringly till the end by inflaming us with his love. Bring peace to my soul and to the world. The one gift I ask this Christmas is the grace to love you forever with my whole heart. Inflame me, Lord, with your love. Never let me stop loving you. And third, asking Mary to help us by praying for us in front of her Son Jesus, for this to occur in our lives. Mary, my mother, God will do all things you ask in prayer. Pray to Jesus for me. The great themes touched by the Christmas novena, as written to us by St. Alphonsus Liguori, show all the necessary characteristics of Jesus' hidden life, his poverty, humility, sorrow, and mercy, until it projects itself into Christ's eventual passion, death, and resurrection. This Christmas novena, with its penitential thrust, is helping us to acknowledge the infant Jesus' behavior as our model, see through it our own erroneous ways of behaving, expressing our innate holy wish to be reformed by Christ's holiness, and finally, asking Mary to help us in our effort by her maternal intercession. We look forward to praying the novena with you on December the 16th. Until then, God bless and thank you.
Come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, burn away my fears, wipe away my tears, and trust in you all here. Holy Spirit,
You have been listening to Sacred Space, hosted by Beatrice Corbo, here on Radio Maria Canada. If you have any comments or questions, please send them to sacredspace@radiomaria.ca. To learn more about this program, please visit radiomaria.ca/sacredspace.